Hello, everybody. Cal Banyan here. Cal Banyan's Hypnosis, etc. Oh, if you're coming back, welcome back. If you're new, let me tell you what, we've got like hundreds of these hypnosis training videos on calbanyan.com. So go to calbanyan.com and get instant access to all the videos and the links and graphics, images and text that go along with each one of these videos. Okay, you know what? Today, we're going to stay with this hypnopreneurial stream of thinking that was kind of, that we did some with Brenda, and now we're doing Erica, who's probably one of the most hypnopreneurial minded hypnotists I know that's been coming up in the profession recently. And we're going to talk about, when is it time, or should you even consider adding a second or third or fourth hypnotist to your hypnosis practice? All right, let me introduce Erica. Erica, like I just said, is one of the most entrepreneurial minded hypnotists, and that's why she was able to go from a full-time income professional in software engineering, problem solving, Silicon Valley kind of thing up in Bellingham, Washington, into full-time as a hypnotherapist, or a professional consulting hypnotist, as they like to say at the National Guild of Hypnotists. And I'm so proud of her, what she's done. She's done a talk, she does talks at the convention on developing new clients through the use of the internet, and certainly she's done that, and I'm so happy to have her here. How you doing, Erica?
I'm doing great, Cal. Thank you for having me here today. Very happy to be here, and let me tell everybody about you. So Cal Banyan is the hypnosis celebrity, and not just because of all of these wonderful training videos, but because he's won nearly every award in the profession, which I think is remarkable. He's the authority on hypnosis that works, and he's trained some of the best in the profession. He's authored some fabulous books, one of them, The Secret Language of Feelings, one of my favorite, and he has appeared on television and radio talking about hypnosis and The Secret Language of Feelings. He is the person that people, experts in the field, turn to for guidance and for education, and he's still teaching, he's still training, he's still creating these great videos, and he's still seeing private clients, and he's had a huge impact on my profession. You know, I first met Cal online watching these videos myself, and then I took the DVD, the five-path DVD set, which was great. As soon as I got that, then I was ready to see clients, but then I saw him in person, and I have to tell you, one of the greatest things about Cal, he is the real deal, all right? He does hypnosis with heart, he's the real thing, and so I'm just honored to be part of this now and here today.
Wow. Hey, you know, it's good to be the real deal because, you know, it's just too much effort to try to be something else. So eat, sleep, drink hypnosis, and, you know, walk the walk, and that's what it's about. And I've been doing that for about 19 years, and so I'm really looking forward to my 20th, which will be next year. I think of something fantastic to do for my 20th anniversary in the profession. All right, so what are we going to talk about?
Well, Cal, you and Brenda did an episode, number 436. It's called How to Manage More and More Hypnosis and Hypnotherapy Clients. And it was kind of initiated because Brenda and I had this discussion on Skype. And, you know, we connect every once in a while and talk about how we're doing and support each other and that type of a thing. And the idea came up, you know, we're both really busy. And so that was what that episode was about, you know, how to manage more and more hypnosis, hypnotherapy clients. And then the idea came about, should you bring in another hypnotist into your practice? And so that's kind of where the episode kind of hinted around that. You had suggested maybe bringing in an intern, but the idea was that we could explore that topic a little bit more. So that's what we're talking about today, when and how to bring in another hypnotist into your practice. And so this is something that I'm personally thinking about right now doing because I'm very busy. And I know I could be 100% seeing clients. Okay. So I could see a client Monday through Friday. I could see them on the weekends too. Right. But it's not a good idea, to see people 100% of the time because you have to have time to answer the phone, answer emails. You need time to do other things, you know, like, record these videos and that type of thing. So Cal, you know, what do you think about bringing another hypnotist into the office and how to go about doing that? I know there's some options, so I was hoping you could talk about that.
First of all, one of the greatest things about being self-employed, and I don't even like that because we're not employed. What we are is having a business of our own. What's good about that is, you know, we get to make the decisions and we get to build the business we want. And I first of all, I want to say there is absolutely nothing wrong from being the lone hypnotist. It's not what I wanted to do, but I can understand how someone, they just want to have their little, their office, cozy office, one-on-one seeing clients, maybe teaching, writing, and just having that kind of self-contained kind of business. And that's okay if that's what you want. I mean, that's not okay. That's fantastic if that's what you want. I never wanted that. Coming from the psychology background, I wanted to create something like the places I had worked in the past, counseling centers, human service centers, that kind of thing. And I liked the collegial environment of having other, at the time, counselors and psychotherapists around to talk, to hang out with, and maybe discuss ideas with, exchange ideas on clients and that kind of thing. So when we first opened our center, we had three offices and just one person. And right away, I had in my mind, I'm going to build this and add a hypnotist and add a hypnotist. And we did that a number of different ways. Some that didn't work so good and some that worked beautiful in Minnesota. Then we moved to California. It was different. And so I'll kind of give you an overlook on those different things. But, you know, if you're the lone hypnotist, and you are bothered by the fact that you don't have that ability to just run ideas by things, if you're of other people, and if you're bothered by the fact that if you take a week off, your income stops, then you might like the idea of adding a hypnotist. And you know, you might not even need to expand your office. You might do some office sharing. Okay. Am I doing all right, Erica?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's where I would start, actually, would be office sharing, because it's more affordable rather than, you know, and then you have, if you rent another office, then you have an overhead of having and filling that second office. So yes, thank you. Continue.
Perfect. Why, thank you. And so when first of all, you got to have enough clients for you plus someone else. And I worked very hard to get to that point, and probably about 8 months into the development of our center, I was ready to hire on a new hypnotist. And I hired someone, and this was, I don't recommend you do this, I'm going to tell you about how I made a mistake. The first person to work at our center, I hired someone from where I used to work. She was a social worker, hired her in, sent her off for training, came back, gave her a guaranteed base salary plus additional money she'd make for seeing clients. And that was a terrible decision, because she became the hole where our clients went. You see, for the kind of work that we do, you can't just see someone one time and then go next. You know, you have to develop a relationship, and you have to start working on their issue. And most serious hypnosis professionals recognize that you're probably going to have to see a client more than one time. And five pathers, we typically 4 to 6 sessions in that range, depending on how complicated and a number of other factors you see a client. And it was like we didn't have enough clients all of a sudden. And I looked at the statistics, and she was seeing clients an average of 1.4 times. So she just didn't put the effort into the first session to give the client the experience they needed most of the time to want to come back and continue. And so our hypnotherapists, at that time we did the math, we needed them to average, to do good work, and to be truly profitable, it's a balance, right, of about 4.5 to 4.7 sessions per client. Okay, good. But we have a smoking cessation process, which on average takes about 2 sessions. So that takes us down from the 5 session average to about a 4.5, 4.7. And so we let her go. She did not want to go under the new way of doing things. And the new way of things, now back in Minnesota, all of our hypnotherapists were hired by us. And the next one we hired, sent him off for training. I wasn't a trainer yet. Came back, and then we plugged her in, and here was, I don't know exactly the numbers of what was going on. It was something like they make 20% for the first session, 30% for the next session, 35% for the next one, and then they topped out at about 40% at about the third or fourth session. Unless they brought the client in. If they brought the client in, you know, through their efforts, then they would get a higher percentage all the way through it. But most of our hypnotists at that time who we hired, we brought the clients in, we assigned them to a hypnotist. And this is where a lot of people who try to go into this model of hiring or having other hypnotists at their center go wrong. They start thinking, oh, well, let's make this a 50-50 thing. Okay, I'll bring them in, I'll supply the office, and you're going to do the work. 50-50 sounds fair. 50-50 sounds fair if you have no experience working with hypnotists, if you have done no number crunching, okay? If you have an office, I mean, you've got overhead of the office, you've got maybe liability insurance, you've got electrical, maybe you've got, you know, heat, whatever, gas, electric, all these different things, and then your marketing efforts, and your website, and any ads you run, and the time you spend supervising that person, the additional time it takes to do accounting. 50% to that person is too much. I've never seen any hypnotist who hired hypnotists to work at their center really have a successful center when they're paying them 50%. And I think it's ridiculous if you're going to pay 60-65% of the cost of a session to the hypnotist. Before you work it through, that makes sense, but when you work it through, it doesn't. When they don't have to worry about getting the clients, having to pay for an office, having to pay the heat, having to pay the telephone bill, having to manage a website, and all they got to do is walk in, see the client, and make 20, 30, 40%, I think is a pretty good deal. It's worked out really well for us in the past. Anything you want to ask about that? Erica?
Yeah, well, you know, like I'm thinking about this. Okay, so if I have an employee, then on top of that, I have to worry about payroll and I have to worry about kind of the insurance type of a thing. And then I also have to make sure that I'm, you know, making sure that I'm booking enough for that particular hypnotist. So, you know, the idea of an employee kind of makes me like go run away really fast. So I was looking for alternatives to that.
Right. And you know, I'm going to cover that next. Okay, cool. Hey, so let me say one other thing before I get into where Erica's going. And that is, when is it the right time to start thinking about adding another hypnotist? And in my mind, when you get to be about 80% booked, now it's time to start thinking about adding a hypnotist. Because what's going to happen is you want to give them immediately half your client load. Now you are freed up to do what? To go out and build your business. You know, to do the talks or to do the internet marketing or, you know, whatever it is that you did to get to that point. And then what you do that until you and the client, you and the hypnotist are now 80% filled. And then at that time, oops, time to think about adding another hypnotist. And when we opened our center, like I said, we had three offices, filled one up, filled another one up, filled another one up. Then I discovered something. Very few people can see clients 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, and still like what they do. It starts off with, I love hypnosis. And then a few months of seeing that kind of client load, you go, I hate hypnosis. So we know we do not allow the hypnotists that work at our center, either as employees or as, like we do now, renters, to work more than 3 days a week at our office seeing clients. The exception would be maybe I do a radio show or something and we get this quick inundation of clients and maybe it'll make sense for them to see for a period of time to get through that hump of seeing more clients than 3 days a week. Then one of the things we did is we had one hypnotist per office. So then when we went to this limitation of no more than 3 days a week, then we'd have hypnotists that work 2 days a week and hypnotists that work 3 days a week, and we went into office sharing model. So then we could have six hypnotherapists at our center sharing the three offices. And that worked out really good until we moved to California. And as Erica was talking about, and I kind of cut her off. I didn't do that really well. But sometimes I just get so pressured for what I want to say in a certain period of time. And that is that when we got to California, the employee model didn't work anymore. Because as Erica was talking about, it costs an employer money to have employees. And when we got to California, it just became too expensive to have our hypnotists as employees. So here we had a center with these offices, and we switched over to a deal where, like, Brenda works at our office. Kelly works at our office. They are not employees. What they do is they have offices that they rent from us. And so that works out really good for us because it doesn't cost us anything to have these hypnotists except the cost to us to have those offices, which we already did. And they pay enough in rent and referral fees to us that it is well worth it to us to pay the rent on a facility that has these extra offices. So what I recommend you do then is to go to that model. You got to see what's right for you. You can do the sliding scale. Don't start too high, and you want to have it so if they're employees, that you pay a small percentage for the first session, a larger percentage for the second session, then the third session more, until if they keep their clients for four or five sessions or more, they're going to average in that 35 to 40% range. Because then you can be profitable, and they are motivated to keep their clients coming back long enough to do good work. Because there's a big difference between seeing a client one time and getting that 20% and working up to that 30 to 40%, okay? So that's the employee model. Then the other model is just rent the space. And that's what we do. It works out really good. They also get the benefit of they can come and ask me questions anytime. They can ask Maureen questions anytime if it's about business building or making appointments and that kind of thing. And in exchange for that, the goodness of their hearts and all they get out of teaching, they then do, when we have classes, they come in and help supervise practice time and talk a little bit in class. And it just has created a synergy that's worked out really well for us. What do you think of that, Erica?
I think that's great, Cal. And, you know, one thing that I'm thinking about with this is I got to bring in the right person, right? It's got to be somebody who's in line with the type of hypnosis I do, because regardless of even if they're not your employee, they're still representing your business, right?
Right.
Yeah. So that's going to be important for me. And, you know, I have a classroom too. So, and I'm, you know, an instructor. So right now I'm thinking about if students are interested in something like this, I've got a classroom, students could be teaching something there, or I could be teaching something while somebody is, seeing clients in my office, right? I can't be in my classroom and doing a hypnosis session at the same time. So this really enables me to maximize the space that I already have, and also help, you know, other hypnotists. Like, I already have a brand that I've been building, so people are already calling me. So I already have kind of some in, you know, I guess clients are already calling me, right? So I can then use that to help bring in more people with other hypnotists, so that the office is used 100% of the time. I could see clients 3 or 4 days a week, and then, you know, use my other time to teach classes and do other things for the business, right?
Well, you know, here's exactly. Now, here's something you might consider. And one of the things we did when we were looking at having a new hypnotist join us, we would put it out to our grads, because we keep in touch with all of them through an email group on Yahoo and also on our Hypnospace. And we would say, hey, we're accepting applications for interns. Now, interns are wonderful. It's because one thing, our profession needs interns, because interns are hypnotists that are new, who want supervision. And we pay our interns, when we've had interns, in two ways. One is we've actually had interns work for us for free. Then we've had interns work for 10%, right? Employees do 25, 30, 35%, you know, depending on the session. But interns, what we could do is we'd do with them and say, okay, you're gonna be an intern. What's gonna happen is we're gonna supply everything, including the supervision, and I'm gonna meet with you once a week and spend, you know, at least an hour of time with you talking about skill building and office building and that kind of thing. And you're gonna get 10% per client. Now, let's say that they're getting we're charging $150 per session for that individual. They make 15 bucks, we make the rest, but they get repaid by getting supervision. And we would do that internship for like about 3 months. Now, at the end of that 3 months, something magical happens. And that is, we know if this person fits into our office. If they do, then we can offer them a position, you know, say, how would you like to stay on, and we'll rent. You know, I'm thinking about the model we have now where we are renting. What we might do is start off with them renting. We'll say that we haven't done interns since we've gone to this new model of renting offices. What I do is say, okay, you're going to be an intern. You're going to rent this office for whatever the going rate is, and that'll be for 3 months. And as part of that rent, you're going to get your clients and you're going to get supervision. And then as the 3 months comes to an end, we decide if we want to continue that process. We can say, gosh, you fit in really well. You're doing great work. Would you like to keep renting that office? And then I could turn them into a renter. If they say, no, I feel like I'm good. I want to go home now and do my practice. Well, beautiful. Then I just send it out to my grads again. We now have a new position for an intern. And we have never, ever, ever had problem getting interns. What do you think of that, Erica?
I think that's great. You know, right now, since I've been the only one in my office, there would still be some things for me to make sure, you know, that we're taken care of. Like, for example, I don't have a front office staff or anything, right? So I'd have to, you know, working out the keys and answering the phone or some of those things, that stuff would need to be figured out. But I don't think that would take me very long to do that. So, and that probably needs to be done anyway. So I think this is great, Cal. Thank you so much for your advice, you know, based on experience, right? So I think this could help a lot of people not making the same mistake by getting in trouble by hiring an employee and then having too much work to do just maybe with that employee, although perhaps maybe in some states it's easier to do that than others. So it's probably advisable to figure out, you know, whatever state you're doing business in, what's going to be best for you.
Perfect. All right, we went a little bit long again. Hey, boy, I wish these videos existed back when I was getting started. I'd be so far ahead of where I am right now. Gah. Okay, good. All right, wrap it up, Erica.
All right. Well, thanks for joining me today, everyone. I'm Erica Flint. You can find me at CascadeHypnosisCenter.com, and I'm also at OurHypnoSpace.com, and I lead the marketing group there. I also hope to see you at the NGH convention coming up soon in August. Thank you.
Awesome. Did you give them your website?
I think so, but I'll give it to them again. It's CascadeHypnosisCenter.com.
Awesome. All right, Cal Banyan here. I want to see you in class. We got the July class coming up. You can always check our schedule here. We've only got like 4 seats available for that. We've got an online availability, and we've got 4 seats left in class. We've already finished our week of power for this year. I don't think we're going to schedule another one. As soon as we get another week of power scheduled, it'll be for next year. Please come to the NGH convention. I'm going to do a free age regression teleseminar on June 25th, and I'm going to have some amazing bribes just to get you there. I'll be announcing them in upcoming podcasts. I'm going to be doing a talk on the universal script. Can one script do it all? And I'm also going to be doing a two-hour talk, a workshop on age regression. And then the grand class will be the two-day certification, age regression, post-convention. All right, that's it. Hey, I want to see you on facebook.com/hypnosis, etc. All right, that's it. Cal Banyan, bye for now. Signing off. This recording is the property of Cal Banyan and the Banyan Hypnosis Center for Training and Services, Incorporated. All rights reserved, for private use only, may not be duplicated without permission. For contact information, go to www.hypnosiscenter.com.